President Biden made a major announcement on immigration today. He says he's establishing a more orderly, lawful process for people to enter the United States from the southern border.
My message is this. If you're trying to leave Cuba, Nicaragua, or Haiti, you have have agreed to begin a journey to America, do not just show up at the border. Stay where you are and apply legally from there.
We want to talk further about the president's latest plan with two immigration rights advocates. Melissa Crowe is Director of Litigation at the Center for Gender and Refugee Studies. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you so much, Deepa.
And Krish Omara Vignaraja is President and CEO of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. Welcome, Krish.
Thanks for having me and Happy New Year.
Same to you. Melissa, it seems like the president is trying to codify this message that the administration's had of don't come. His plan has more enforcement and border restrictions. What did you hear on that front?
Yes, it was very reminiscent of prior exhortations that we've heard that asylum seekers should not come. Both the president and Secretary Mayorkas pointed out that given the Supreme Court's recent decision in the Title 42 case, they do have to keep Title 42 in place, at least for the foreseeable future. But there is nothing requiring them to expand it to three other nationalities, to Nicaraguans, Cubans, and Haitians. The other really noteworthy aspect of the remarks this morning were that there seemed to be an assumption that people are not allowed to come to the border to seek asylum, whether they present at ports of entry or they enter between ports of entry, which is all they're really able to do right now. That is completely at odds with the terms of the Immigration and Nationality Act, which explicitly says that individuals may seek asylum at the border regardless of their mode of entry. It's nice that the administration is creating what they term lawful pathways for individuals to come in. But not everyone has time or the ability to wait in their home country and, you know, make an appointment through an app and find a sponsor in the United States. People leave their home countries because they're terrified.
Right. Let me bring Krish in here, because what Melissa just mentioned, the president announced today the use of a new app, which will have people schedule an appointment to present themselves for inspection at the border rather than be forced to wait in border towns or as Melissa pointed out, cross the border where there isn't an official port or inspection port. We've heard and seen how dangerous the wait can be for so many. This app sounds like it might be a good thing. Is that true?
Well, look, I love apps. I use it for everything from navigating to a destination to ordering lunch. But I also know the clients that we're talking about, because my organization has border operations in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico. I was in Phoenix recently meeting with migrants who had recently crossed. And I worry deeply when it's the tool for how you apply for life-saving relief. Even just thinking about the fact that many of these are not native-born English speakers. Some of them don't speak Spanish. They speak Quechua or another indigenous language. The idea that something could be lost in translation, and that it is a decision of whether they get returned into harm's way, is, I think, a really stark reality of what the president announced today.
You know, there seems like there were more of these kinds of closing off of the border, as Melissa pointed out, almost codifying Title 42 in other ways. But there was this announcement of these new, what appear like two-year work visas for people from Haiti, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba, up to $30,000 a month, modeled on the Venezuelan example. What did you make of that?
So I think it's important, you know, obviously, well, the devil's in the details, but it's important to recognize the administration had already announced a program that accepted 20,000. So if we understand the number of 30,000 correctly, really it's increasing just by 10,000 as it's increasing three countries' nationals who would be under this rule. Our view is that expanding pathways at a time of unprecedented global need is certainly a worthwhile effort. So we're grateful to see the expanded use of humanitarian parole. But we can't crack open a window as we're slamming the door. And that's what today's announcement feels like. Because, yes, the administration is allowing a very limited number of Nicaraguans, Haitians, and Cubans to apply for humanitarian parole. But the White House seems to be also signaling that it will expand its use of Title 42. And migrants from these three countries would face immediate expulsion under the Trump-era rule.
Now, Melissa, you've been part of the legal fight to end Title 42, which, in case folks don't know, it's the Trump-era policy that was used, a public health protocol, to essentially close the borders. Is that what's going to happen here? It will just be maybe codified, but not as a public health protocol?
I certainly hope not. One of our biggest concerns is that the United States appears to essentially be outsourcing its asylum obligations onto other countries. That's a violation of U.S. law. It's a violation of our obligations under international treaties. We have always maintained that even if the CBP app is available, people should be able to come to the U.S. border, whether at a port of entry or between ports of entry, and request protection. That is what our law requires.
And what you're referencing there is, it also seems like in the plan that was presented today, there may have been some deals made with countries in Latin America like Ecuador, Colombia, Costa Rica, to have migrants stay there instead of coming to the U.S. Did you read that?
Yes. That is true. The other big problem with today's announcements is that there appears to be another transit rule in the making. This was an instrument that was employed by the Trump administration, and the rule provided that if people transited through third countries en route to the U.S., they had to apply for protection in at least one of those countries and be denied protection in order to even be eligible to seek asylum in the United States. Secretary Mayorkas in particular said that the transit rule that the Biden administration is going to propose is very different because of all of these alternative pathways. And he referenced certain exceptions that would be available for humanitarian reasons. But I think the devil will be in the details. We have not seen the language of the rule yet. We don't know what those exceptions are going to be. And it does sound very much like a relic of the Trump era that two different courts have found to be illegal.
We only have a little time left, but Krish, I know one of the things you work a lot on is refugee issues. And in this plan, there is a tripling of refugee resettlement. Tripling adds up to 20,000 total per year of refugees. I don't know, it strikes me not that huge amount compared to the number of refugees we're seeing worldwide.
That's exactly right, Deepa. It's also not a huge expansion from what the number is currently. So for both last year and this year, the White House had set a target of 15,000 refugees from the Western Hemisphere. But we haven't gotten anywhere close to that number for years. Last year, for example, we accepted less than 2,500. So that's less than 17%. Of the 15,000 target. And I think that's where it's important to understand that ambition and execution are two very different things. And while we welcome the announcement, we really hope that we will see the administration prioritize actually building the capacity so that this is really a number.
Okay. Krish Amaravignarajah is President and CEO of the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. Melissa Crowe is Director of Litigation at the Center for Gender and Refugee Studies. Thank you to both of you.